This morning we got an awesome treat. Paige is going to be sharing with us. We back in the day, we used to do a lot of like 10-minute speakers, and where people within the congregation, we all like have something to give. We all have something to share because we all have that relationship with the Lord. And so let's welcome Paige. Come on up, Paige.
Good morning. How is everyone? I'm so excited to be here and share some things with you guys. Some of you from Wednesday night are going to hear a little repeat. But I think it's important to say, are you still teaching on healing today? Okay. Well, since he was teaching on healing, I wanted to share some things, but it's okay. I'll share it anyway, because we all need healing sometimes. First of all, I want to say I thank God for sending Travis and for Travis being so transparent. We were sharing a few weeks ago at home group, and Travis was just saying, you know, there was a time he didn't desire God like he should, or didn't have the love like he should. And so he asked God to give it to him. And I'm usually kind of transparent too. And so I shared with the group, well, I hadn't had it in a while. You know, we all go through valleys in our life, and sometimes we're on the mountaintop. And so I had gone through a really bad season in my life that lasted way longer than it should have. And Margaret, my dear friend, called me a few weeks ago and said, Paige, because she knew where I used to walk. And she said, hey, let's go pray for a friend of ours who had passed away and call him back. And I looked at her, I said, Margaret, I'm sorry. I can't do that because I don't have the faith right now. I just don't have the faith to go lay hands on a dead man and tell him to get out of that coffin. But I will again. And we sang a song today that said, only he can do what he can do. I don't know the words, but no one can do what Jesus can do. And when I told her that, it broke my heart, because there was a time I had that faith. I've seen it happen one time where I prayed for somebody and they came back to life, but I haven't had it in a long time. So I started praying, God, do something in me. I don't like where I'm at, and I need you. And see, we can't change ourselves. We can't give ourselves the love of God. We can't give ourselves the faith we need. It all comes from him. So I started saying, Lord, I hadn't had a desire to pray a lot. I hadn't had a desire to read the word. Something's missing. So do a work in me. And he did what only he can do. In like a 2-week time, he went from, okay, I can't pray with you, Margaret, because I don't know if I have that faith, so I went to hospice the other day and I prayed for a woman to come back to life who was on her deathbed. And I fully believed that one of two things would happen. It was my aunt that I love dearly. They said she was in the death rattle. They said 3 days ago she would be dead. Her eyes were fixed. There was nothing there. And I prayed and believed with all my heart that God was able to raise her up and do a work in her. So I prayed, Lord, I don't presume to know what your will is for her life. I know what your word says. I know your heart. And your word says we can have the mind of Christ. But I don't know what your will for my 82-year-old aunt is. So I started saying, Lord, if it's not her appointed time, if this is not the time that you have called her, if Satan is coming to kill, steal, and destroy, bring her back. And I started praying, and I started praying that over her for probably 15 minutes. And then I said, but Lord, I need to know your mind in this situation. Because you see, the word says that his eyes go to and fro the earth, looking and searching out for those whose hearts are loyal to him. In Zechariah 3 and in Revelation 5:6, it says that God has 7 eyes. So I'm thinking, okay, God, take your 7 eyes and search, you know, my heart. Search and call your people out. Because, see, God's doing a thing. And he's calling us out. Some of us who know the truth, we've known it for a long time. But we've been in a complacent place because we haven't seen things that we thought we should see. And God's calling us back out. So I said, Lord, I don't really know what your will for her is. And then I started praying, but let me get your mind. And I started praying in the spirit. And the Lord told me, it's her time. I've called her home. She's tired. So then I started releasing her spirit. I said, okay, Lord, we release her spirit to you. And then I knew that she had had some sin, some things in her life like we all do. None of us have lived perfect. And she had some fear. So I started reminding her, Aunt Martha, do you remember when you said this? Do you remember when we went to those services? Do you remember when we worshiped the Lord? Do you remember when you sang his glories and when you called out to him? I said, you know God and he knows you and we release you. And she had been in that place for about 7 days. And I told my dad that night, I said, Dad, one of two things are going to happen. Either we're going to wake up in the morning and she's going to get out of that bed and be healed, or she's going to go to heaven tonight. Because I knew in my heart that I had the mind of Christ, and I believed that she was going to go home because I felt like that's what God had shown me. And she died that morning before we woke up. So God is calling us to do some things, and I'm just here to encourage you because I don't care where we are. In just one cry to God, we can be right where he needs us to be because it's all about him and not about us. I want to share one more thing. Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, excuse me, I'm going to get my coffee. Brittany, hand me my coffee because my mouth is so dry. I need something to drink. Thank you. About 15 years ago, I was married and I'm having a dream. See, I went through a period where I didn't really think I could hear from God like everybody else. And I knew God had called me to do some things, but I said, God, I don't hear your voice like everyone else does. I felt I wasn't smart enough, wasn't good enough, you know, all the things that Satan bombards us with. So I said, okay, Lord, I know one way you can speak to me through dreams. So I went through about 2 years where God started waking me up in the middle of the night. He honored my prayer, and he started giving me dreams. So one night, I'm in bed, and I have a dream. And in my dream, which Margaret and I went to a service last Sunday night, which was just exactly like my dream. In my dream, we're at a conference, and the speaker's up there speaking. And he says, God is getting ready to do something in the church that we haven't seen a whole lot in the past, but he's getting ready to take us to a new place. He said, it's going to be a nameless and a faceless people. No man's going to get the glory. No man's going to get the credit. You're not going to have to drive to Florida and have somebody lay hands on you or go to California and have them pray for you because God's going to do it in each and every one of us. So in my dream, the man said, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to your right or left, and I want you to lay hands on the person beside you and pray for them. Ask them what they need healing for. And pray for them. So I turned, and this lady was praying with somebody else. And when I turned, this lady was sitting beside me, and she was down like this in her chair, going, "Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh!" And she was holding her head. So I knew I was supposed to pray for her. And I said, "Ma'am, you know what's your problem? What can I pray for you about?" She said, "I have the worst headache I've ever had in my whole life." And I'm thinking I'm going to have to call 911 because I cannot bear the pain. Which my brother has an anointing of God. He prays for people with headaches and they get healed. So I'm like, okay, I got a little bit of that maybe. So I laid hands on the woman and I said, okay, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to command this headache to leave right now. So I laid my hands on her, commanded her headache to leave, and thanked Jesus. And she was healed. And she looked at me, she said, oh my gosh, it's gone. It's gone. So I'm dreaming this dream. And all of a sudden I'm awakened. Like really, this isn't part of the dream. This really happened. I'm awakened by people talking in my bedroom about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up and I asked my husband, I said, what's going on? He said, nothing, honey. Go back to sleep. It's just Taylor, who was my stepson, who was about 16 or 17 at the time. He was driving, so I think he's about 17. And he said, it's just Taylor. And I said, well, what's wrong? He said, nothing. He's just got a horrible headache. He says he's just got the worst headache he's ever had. And I told him to go take some Tylenol. So I said, okay, good. So I go back to sleep. And all of a sudden, I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh, that dream was right now for such a time as this. So I jump out of my bed and I go into Taylor. I said, Taylor, and I'm one of those that can walk in the dark. I don't have to turn lights on. So I'm walking down the hall. And I said, Taylor, and I go in his room. He said, what? And he's crying. He's 17 years old and he was a big guy. He's crying. I said, honey, what is going on? He said, Paige, I got the worst headache. He said, I've never had a headache like this. I don't know what's going on. He said, I think we need to call 911, which is what the woman in my dream told me. And I said, well, your dad said to tell you to take something. He said, I did take something 3 hours ago, and I still have a headache. He said, I try not to wake y'all up. I've been laying here for 3 hours, and it won't leave. He said, can we call 911? I can't bear the pain. So I said, well, Taylor, you know what's crazy? I was just having a dream, and in my dream, I prayed for a woman with a bad headache, and she was healed. And I said, so I'm just going to lay hands on you. And they always thought I was kind of radical, Christian, crazy anyway. We went to a real traditional church at the time. And he's like, sure. I mean, it can't hurt. So I said, okay, and it's dark, and I'm fine. And I grabbed his head, and I laid hands on him, and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, you did not give me that dream for a reason. You're getting ready to do something. And I'm believing that you're going to start right here in my house and you're going to do it. So I laid hands on Taylor and I commanded the headache to leave. And it was real simple. And I said, okay. And it was quiet. I said, Taylor? He said, what? I said, son, are you okay? Yeah. I said, is your headache gone? He said, Paige, my headache is gone. I said, it's really gone? Yeah, I'm kind of doubting. He said, it's gone, totally gone. I said, how long have you had this headache? He said, about 3 hours. He said, Paige, I've never had anything like this in my whole life. It's like somebody was trying to rip my brain out. And I said, well, just give God praise. So we thank the Lord. I said, okay, praise him now. He healed you. He said, praise the Lord. So I go back to bed. Well, you know how the devil is. So I go back in there the next morning. I'm fixing breakfast, which I never do because I like to sleep late. But I was feeling good, and I fixed breakfast. I said, how are you doing? He's getting ready for school. Great. I said, Taylor, did your headache ever come back? He said, no. And it was gone. I'm like, thank God. So see, he will minister to us. He will visit us in our dreams. He will visit us and show himself strong in any way he can. So one more thing. And I say one more thing. So the Lord told me years ago that Brittany and I were going to be ministering and that he was going to heal her. And some of y'all know my story and all the confirmations through the years we've had, and that he was going to heal Brittany and that she and I would be traveling and speaking and ministering healing. So when my aunt got sick, I was praying. I tried to get Dawn to keep Brittany so that I could go pray for my aunt. And she had something to do, couldn't. And the Lord said, but didn't I tell you? You and Brittany are going to lay hands on the sick and pray. He said, take her with you. I'm like, Lord, she's not healed yet. He said, take her with you. So we go and we pray for my aunt. And I started praying in the spirit, and I got Brittany to come over there and lay hands on her. So Brittany laid hands on her head. And when she laid hands on her head, she looked right in our eyes, and she pushed her head down a little bit. I said, okay, a little easy now. She pushed her head down. And she just stared at her and kept her hands there for a while. And I looked at Brittany. You know, the Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. And I looked at Brittany. I said, honey, I said, you and I have a ministry that God promised me. And we're going to go lay hands on the sick. And we're going to see them recover. And we're going to raise the dead. And I said, today our ministry begins. Because God doesn't want us to wait till we're walking it out. Anybody can believe that. He's calling us to call those things that be not as though they were, and to walk it out right where we're at, because faith without works is dead. So Brittany and I started our ministry last week, and I'm excited about that. And I wanted to tell Margaret. I think I even told you, Margaret, I'm sorry I couldn't go pray with you 3 weeks ago, but never again. If there's ever anyone who needs prayer, you call me. They may not get up, but you know, the work's not me. It's all about him. The Lord told us to go. So I'm going to go lay hands on every single person that needs to be healed. Every person that needs to come back from the dead, if I'm called, I'll go. Because I want to be like Isaiah. And so, Lord, here am I, send me. So, anyway, thank you.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Paige, you ended right where I'm beginning. you really did. That is amazing. I'm going to tell Jesse just to take the whole healing thing off of the website because I don't know when it's going to happen. I do know the Lord spoke to me this morning that it had to do with timing. There was a timing that he's trying to, and I don't know what that timing is. I just know that, you know, I've tried to, I want the Lord, when I'm ministering, I don't want a word, I want the word. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we can share things that are biblically true and they're accurate and they can help people. But there's a difference when you're speaking the very word that God wants spoken at that very moment for the people that were going to be there that day. And that's being spirit-led. And Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I want to make sure that when I'm ministering, that I'm taking into account what God's saying. What's the Holy Spirit saying? And so I always try to listen and say, Lord, what are you wanting to do? And I know for a fact, and it's even come with confirmation this morning, that this was the message that I was supposed to share. So y'all ready?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I got my mother-in-law here with me. She said she was going to heckle me, so. All right, so this is going to be a two-part series. And I hope to get it all done in two Sundays. This is part one. Next week will be part two. But we got a little thing we're going to do Saturday for those who are interested. But I'll tell you about that, Paul, somebody. Don't let me forget to share that. So, the last thing Paige says was Isaiah. Isaiah 6 is what it is where, you know, he's in there and he's with the Lord. And the Lord says, who will go for us? And he said, here I am, send me. So, Lord, just speak to us right now. Father, give us ears to hear what you say. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you go and you move on our hearts and you help motivate us. Father, speak to us. Just let a work of your Spirit take place right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. So how many have a end-time harvest theology? You know what I mean by that? Like you see the end time as being this in-gathering. Well, that's a biblical concept, the in-gathering. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24. You know, there's just an in-gathering at the end. But the question is, how is this in-gathering going to take place? And when I mean in-gathering, I mean an in-gathering of souls, people turning to Jesus. You see it in Isaiah 60, where they're all streaming to the mountain of the Lord. It doesn't say the mountain of the Lord at that point, but it's talking about the, you know, rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is. Let's just read it. That's what happens when you're trying to paraphrase something that you can't remember perfectly. Isaiah 60, if you don't know this scripture, learn it, because this is what we're walking in these days. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Let your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you, and your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah. And those from Sheba will come, and they will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. And if you keep reading through this, if you read the whole chapter, it talks about, it really helps define a little bit the ingathering that's going to happen at the thing where the nations will turn to the Lord. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible sight because they're all turning to this. Says that, and then you will know that I am the Lord, I am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob, when you see all these things happening. And you see that in that what I just read, there were people that were being carried in the arms of God's people to the Lord. They're being carried. The picture is a person is carrying someone else. It's really to the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of God. And so we know from Scripture, and there's numerous scriptures throughout that deal with this subject, that God wants to reach the lost, and that there is a huge ingathering that's really taken place already. But the question is, how is it happening? And I just want to touch on this one thing. So if you got your Bible, we're going to look at some scriptures, but I just want to look at what Paige was saying about being sent. You know, God wants to reach the world, right? And there are moves of God in history where the Lord just was so moved upon different groups of people in such an extent that, very much like Isaiah, where the people were just rushing to the churches, okay? But I just want to say to you that that's really, in a sense, an exception and not the rule. And I want to give you the rule, because Jesus gave us the rule at how people are reached. Okay, how are these people coming to know the Lord? And we're going to look at that. You turn over in your Bibles. I'm going to give you a number of scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but you can. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 70, right? He appoints 70, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Okay? So Jesus appointed 70 people that had been following him. He gave them a power over the enemy, and he sent them out to preach the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. This is all stuff that he did. We're going to look at that a little bit more. But he sent 70 people, groups of 70 out, two by two. And when he tells them, he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, what does that tell us? That tells us that we're not waiting on God. That's what it tells us. It tells us the harvest. What is a harvest? You know, a harvest, if a farmer has sown in his field, and the crop has grown up, and the fruit's ready to be harvested, is it going to harvest itself? It's not. You have to have workers to go out and to harvest this crop that you had sown and watered and watched over for a season, right? And so we know that what Jesus said in his day was that the harvest was plentiful. There's plenty of opportunities to reach the lost, but there's not enough people that are willing to go. What I love about this is he says, listen, guys, you need to pray. You need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would raise up laborers. What is a laborer? It's somebody that's willing to go work. Paul just had a cool experience. He became a laborer over this past week, laboring to replace his roof. And from talking to him, I know, and having done it myself, that's hard work. You know, but he was motivated. He was motivated to save some money. So he got out there, and he told me how sore he was this morning because he hadn't been doing it. But the point in that is that, you know what labor is? It's work. It's not always fun, but it's something that has to be done. Okay? And so Jesus says that the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. So pray that the Lord would raise up these laborers. I love this part, this next part. He says, pray, you intercessors who are called to intercession and only intercession, pray of the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up laborers to go out into the field. And then what's the next thing he says? He said, go, I am sending you. I don't know if y'all get that, but okay. I think it's hilarious. Y'all, if you've done, I've been training on evangelism since 1998. And there's this common thread that I see in different groups that I've came to share where people didn't feel led to evangelize because that's not their calling or their gifting. They were more intercessors or prayer warriors. And I like to whip the scripture out. You know, great, I'm glad that you're praying, but the people that are praying are the same people that God's telling to go. Okay? So we all got to go. All right? So if you turn with your Bible, Romans 10, this is important right here. I like to get a lot of word in because that's what we're, if it's not word-based, we don't need it. The Spirit will only do what is, he will never contradict, I should say, what is written in the Word. Because the Spirit and the Word are one. So Romans 10, starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Talking about how to get saved here. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. We've talked about that. It's with the heart man believes, not his mind, but his heart, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him will not be disappointed, or in one translation, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Israel says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have this picture here that, where the scripture's telling us clearly that the preaching has to take place so that people can believe. Where there is no preaching, it's impossible for people to believe, because how can they believe something that they've not heard? And how can they hear unless someone goes and shares? And so I want to say to you and suggest to you, and I'm going to back some of this up, but in my opinion, in general, it is impossible in general, without some type of major miracle or for anyone to be saved without words being spoken, without speaking the gospel, without preaching Jesus, it is impossible for people to be saved. Now, there are some examples. Let me give you an example. Helen Keller. Okay, she couldn't hear. Okay, she was born blind and deaf and mute. She was in her own world. How do you reach someone like that? Well, y'all know the story. I don't remember the teacher's name, but the person that persevered and worked with her and to where they could begin to communicate. And this teacher was a Christian, and she began to teach her about Jesus. And when they were finally able to communicate well enough, she tells her about Jesus, and Helen Keller says, oh, I know him. I meet with him all the time. I just didn't know his name. See, she was having an encounter with the Lord. The Lord, ain't God good? We think people are just in this place, but God's always there. Jesus is there. And so there are extreme situations like that where, but it was God's plan from the very beginning that the word would be the seed that releases salvation to people, okay? So I just want to say that without the word going forth, people aren't getting saved. We need the word. Did anybody in here come to the Lord without someone sharing the Lord with them? Why is that? Because it's God's plan. I'm going to go into that. We're going to talk about it. But you know what? Sinners don't go to church typically. They sometimes do. I mean, we're all sinners. You know what I mean? But people who have not accepted the free gift of salvation that's in Christ Jesus, they usually don't go to church. When I started doing evangelism, it was 1998. I've told you a little bit about my story of how fearful I am, and have had to work through so many fears to do what I'm called to do. I'm a very fearful person by nature. I've dealt with so many fears. But by God's grace and his power, he's enabled me and helped me press past it and do what I got to do. And in 1998, I was getting so many messages from the Lord about doing evangelism that it became apparently clear that I either have to obey him or disobey him, but the Lord clearly was speaking to go out and hit the streets. And it started with a mission trip to Mexico. And I went to Mexico on this mission trip with YWAM. We took the youth at the church at Morningstar in Charlotte. And when I was on this trip, and I was going, and I was even before I was going, and while I was there, and as I came back, there was this overwhelming feeling of like, why am I traveling around the world to preach the gospel, and I've not even do it in my own hometown? Now, it wasn't that it was wrong to go to Mexico. God wanted us to go. But it's, why do I have the same urgency to do that, but I can't do it here? And it really convicted me. I mean, it got heavy. I mean, I was like, wow. And then the next thing I know, the Lord starts speaking to me about going out and reaching the lost. And I didn't want to do it. I was terrified. I hate going up to people and talking to them about the Lord. I'm just so afraid of people, especially back then. And so I ended up, I had numerous dreams. And then one time I was coming home from church during this season, feeling the Lord's tug and call, but not wanting to obey it. And I come home and I come into my house and somebody had left a dream that they had had on my answering machine. And it was basically about me doing evangelism and all this stuff. It was like, okay, God, all right. I can't say that God's not calling me. All I can say is I'm going to obey or I'm not going to obey. So I went, shaking and trembling. I was like, Lord, okay, where do you want me to go? And I went to this low-income housing complex on Remount Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was, it was low-income housing. And so I went there. I talked to our first lady. I was literally stuttering and shaking. I was so scared when I talked to her. Why? I don't know. I was just afraid. Care too much about what people think. Fear man brings a snare, scripture says. That's where I was at. And so, but I did it. I pressed beyond it. I shared with her. And then there was this couple that we met. It's one guy named Jim Brayboy. He was a Lumbee Indian. And that's probably not politically correct to say anymore. I don't know. But back when I grew up, that's what he called himself, Lumbee Indian. And, so he had this living girlfriend, Betty Jo, who was probably 10 or 15 years older than him. And we ran into him while we were walking through the neighborhood, and we ministered to him, and they were very receptive. We talked to him about the Lord, and they ended up, we asked them if they wanted to go to the church on the next day, and they said, yeah. So we came and Sunday the next day and knocked on the door, and we could hear him inside, but they weren't coming to the door. I was like, huh, maybe they didn't hear us. We knocked a little louder. And then all of a sudden it gets quiet. Okay, so we left. Well, we were ministering the next Saturday in the neighborhood, saw them again, ministered to them again. They were really receptive. It was really, felt like really productive ministry. They wanted to go to church the next day. We show up the next day and same thing. They were not coming to the door. They knew we were there. They may have been just giving us lip service. I don't know. So 3 years goes by, and I didn't see him again for 3 years. And I'm walking through the same neighborhood 3 years later, and because we were doing this almost every Saturday during that time period, and we went there, that particular neighborhood, a lot. And I hear this guy, yeah, hey! And I turn around, and it was Jim Brayboy, and he comes walking pretty fast up to me. And as soon as we came up to each other, he couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And he was quoting scriptures. And he was, this dude was on fire. And I end up spending time with him. And I end up over the years actually ministering more and really kind of discipling the guy. The guy was much older than me, but he told me over the years, he said, it was that initial contact that y'all had here that really changed my life. And so it didn't happen right away, but the seed that I planted ended up being watered by one of his relatives, and he ended up going to church. He got saved. His girlfriend got saved. They ended up getting married. I was a part of this whole process, and Jim became a natural evangelist. I mean, everywhere this guy went, he would talk to people about Jesus. He was on fire. But here's the message of the story. If we would not have went there that Saturday, that would have never happened. It wouldn't have happened. But we did go, and we preached the gospel, and Jim became a believer. And what was the amazing thing about Jim is Jim couldn't read. He had never learned how to read, but Jim could read the Bible. And it was so weird because he would pronounce words that anybody that can read would know what they are, but he would say them weird. It was miraculous. He said, I don't even know how I can do it, but he said, I decided I was going to try to read the Bible. And he sits there and reads the Bible. He never knew how to read his whole life. It's miraculous. We have to go. If we don't go, then people don't get saved. That responsibility really is on us. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah 6 that Paige mentioned. Y'all familiar with this passage as we're turning? Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah has been called up in an encounter before the throne of God. And he's physically there, I guess. He's caught up. He's experiencing heavenly things. And in verse 5, it says, Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. And the one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isn't that amazing? I just want to stop there for a minute. Isn't that amazing? God of the universe, who created everything, who has angels without end. I mean, I'm sure there's an end, but I mean, he's got a lot of angels, a lot of beings before his throne. And he's sitting there and he's saying, Whom can I send and who will go for us? I mean, he gave us life and he's asking who will go for us. That's amazing. And Isaiah said the only thing that you can say in the presence of God, who your creator, he said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. And so God gave Isaiah a message, and he went and shared the message. And we see this throughout scriptures, God sending. God always is a sending God. I want everybody say, sending God. Look through, just think about it. Think about all the stories throughout the Bible where God calls someone out and he sends them to go. Okay? You can go through the scriptures. He calls people out and he sends them. What about Moses? He was called out and then he was sent. You go through all of the Bible and there's so many stories over and over. Jonah got called out and was sent. So he didn't want to go, but he was sent. Okay, then you get to the New Testament and, in Luke, I believe it's Luke 9, I believe it is, he sends out the 12, right? He gives them power, again, over the enemy, gives them authority to heal the sick, and he sends them out to preach the gospel, and they go out. And then a chapter later, he calls the 70, gives them authority, sends them out. John 17, 18 says, Even as I was sent, so I send you. And if that wasn't enough, he repeats it again in John 20, 21. Even as I was sent, so I send you. Okay? And then, so we got the 12, we got the 70, we got Jesus and John telling the disciples that, that he was going to send them. And then in the book of Acts, he's taken up and he says, Go ye therefore, right? And be disciples, or disciple all the nations, teaching them all that I've commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He had given them a declaration to go out. So, why does God do this? It's in his heart. Jesus left the Father, and he was sent to the earth to become a man. Jesus was the first evangelist, if you will. In a sense, the New Testament, he left his perfect, comfortable home to put on flesh, to reach people that were lost in their sin. Where would we be at today if Jesus wouldn't have came? And yet, Jesus said, just as I was sent, so I send you. He's called us to go and to reach the lost, all of us. Now, that may look different for all of us, but I want to tell you about why this is so important and why, you know, without words, there is no salvation. Now, we talked about Helen Keller. She's an example of an extreme case, you know. There are cases throughout the world of Muslims having Jesus appear to them. I've heard numerous stories where Muslims have Jesus appear to them and he tells them to go to a church to hear the message of salvation. I mean, why didn't Jesus just tell them? But he sends them to his church for them to tell them so they can respond to words. You know, that's scriptural again. Acts chapter 10, I think it's chapter 10, where it talks about Cornelius in Acts. You know, the angel appears to him and he says, go and get Simon, who is called Peter, and he's going to come and give you a message by which you may be saved. Why didn't the angel just tell him, hey, believe on Jesus, you'll be all right? He didn't. He told him to go call for this man, and the man had to come and preach. Why? Well, let's look at that. This is important to understand. If you don't understand this, you're going to miss your opportunity. If you don't understand what I'm about to say, you're going to miss some opportunities. And I've missed enough of them in my life. I don't want to miss them anymore. But we're called to be farmers because God's a farmer. That's why the majority of the parables have to do with farming. God's a farmer. He plants seeds. Okay? So, you know, we see the parable of the parable of the sower. He went about and he sowed the seed. And Jesus, when interpreting that, he said, the Son of Man, this is the Son of Man who goes about and sows the word. Okay? So Jesus sows the word. We see that in Mark 4:13, that God sows, one person sows, another person waters. Okay? But here's the gist of it. And it's about understanding what it means to be born again. Now, Jesus said, unless you are born again, unless you are born from above, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are born again, that word again in the Greek could just as easily have been translated above. Unless you're born from above, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're all adults, no kids in the room. All right, this is a biology thing. All right, how does conception take place? There's a seed and there's an egg, right? If someone's born, you have to have a seed and you have to have an egg. That's just biology, right? The egg receives a seed and conception takes place, right? My kids are the product of my seed. Okay, that's God's biology. Jesus says, unless you're born again from above, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Here's salvation. When you receive the seed of the Word of God in your heart, at the moment that you accept it, you receive it into yourself, just like the egg receives the seed, there is a new birth that takes place in your spirit and you're born brand new. You're born again. At the very moment that you receive that word that was, Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When someone goes and he preaches the gospel and they speak that word, the moment that you believe it and you receive that word, you're born again. And I personally believe, and I think I can show this in scripture, that your spirit man is perfect at that point. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are born again. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we've been born again with incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. We've been born again of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So when we sow the Word, people have an opportunity to receive it. And if they receive it, at the moment they receive it, when the moment in their heart, that their heart opens up and they receive that word, it goes inside and their spirit's born brand new. And there you have a perfect spirit. It's incorruptible. We're the children of God, right? Now, we still got flesh. It's not been redeemed yet. We still have a soul. We still are capable of sin because of the flesh, but our spirit, man, is perfect. We've been born again. Why is that important? Well, it kind of gives you an understanding of why it's so important to preach. If you don't preach the word, as we saw in Romans 10, it's not going to happen. So what does that mean? We got to go. Jesus wants to send us out to reach the world. Now, Wayne is an insurance agent. He has a sphere that is his life. He's called to rule and reign in that sphere. He's called to evangelize that sphere. He's called to share the Lord in that sphere. We all have spheres of influence that we're called to be preaching the gospel. The way God has determined to reach the lost is through us. It's not your neighbor. Because if we all said it's our neighbor, nobody would do anything. It's us. We got to take the call personal. It's our calling to reach the lost. God wants us. Who will go for me? Whom can I send? You can't say, well, Lord, why don't you send so-and-so? I know I'm a little bit, you know, but we gotta hear this. There's a responsibility here that we need to understand. Now, there's a grace. We need God's grace. We need God's spirit. This is not meant to be totally heavy. But there is a reality to the responsibility that if we don't go, people don't get reached. And here's proof that I've experienced in my life. I've never been out to do evangelism. We'd go out and do street evangelism a lot. I've never been out when I did not see God radically impact someone's life, except for maybe two or three times. And all of those times, I got afraid and didn't do what the Lord was calling me to do. I would get into a situation where I began to feel fear of men around me. And rather than speaking up and stepping out, I ran. And I've done that a couple of times where I physically got in the car to go do evangelism, get to a place, start feeling the fear, and I'll walk around trying to talk myself into going up to somebody. And I end up being like, I ain't doing this. And I left. Except for those moments, which are two or three times since I've been doing this since 98, I have had at least every time I went a major God encounter where somebody's life got so impacted that I knew that forever they would never be the same. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying I'm that great? No, not at all. I'm saying that if you will go, God will meet you and he will reach those people because it's his desire. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I've had incredible encounters with God out there, but the reason why I did was because I was willing to go. And I didn't want to. I mean, every week the Lord, I mean, Lindsay can tell you, I mean, even my mother-in-law can tell you to a degree, how for a season of my life I did this, but I didn't want to. I needed God's constant encouragement, constant push to do this in order for me to stay faithful to it. He'll give us that. One way he gives us that is by somebody standing up in a church and telling us, you need to go. But I did it. And God always reached people, and he always will. He'll do the same thing for you if you'll go. Because God's not a respecter of person. He loves those people so much that he's crying out, who will go? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why are there so few? Because it's not fun. I like going to the beach on Saturday. But if you go out, God will reach people. Now, there's two types of evangelism. There's like street evangelism, which is I've done a lot of. But then there's just being out and about, doing your deal, and God nudges you. Okay, now I'm not trying, you know, we're all in different seasons of our life. There are some seasons where you can't, you know, God may not be calling you to go to the streets all the time. Okay, I think it's great training. I would encourage you to do it. I think it's good for you. It will strengthen your faith. It'll toughen you up. It'll give you things that are really helpful. It'll help you deal with the fear of man. You know, I feel like I've had a lot of success in evangelism to some degree, But I feel like I got good at it because I kept doing it over and over and over and over again, you know? And I think anything you do a lot of, God's going to, you'll get good at it, anything in life. And so if you go, I mean, you'll get things, you'll get better at it. But then there's sometimes, God's not calling everybody, in every season of their life to do that. There may be different seasons in your life. But the things that I took away from it, I use all the time now. I walk into the CVS. I feel a nudge in my spirit that this girl needs something from the Lord. And so now I know, all I got to do is go up to her when the Lord's nudging me. And he's going to do something awesome. And I've already learned how to resist this feeling that I feel right now of that total punch in the gut. Like, God, I can't do that. That's terrifying. It's terrifying to walk up to a 19-year-old little girl because I feel something from the Lord. And it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. It's demonic. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to people. Why are we so afraid? We're not. The enemy is. And he puts that on us. And so I decide to push through that thing, and I go up and I give her what the Lord told me. And she starts crying, and then she starts hugging me, and she thanks me. She's like she needed to hear that because I was willing to listen to a little nudge that I learned about from doing street evangelism. You just go. You pass through things. You just be obedient. Now, I got plenty of times when things didn't go the way I thought they should go, but who cares? You know, Jesus sent out the disciples, and he said, Go out, preach the gospel, and when the city doesn't receive you, shake the dust off from the bottom of your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. What does that tell me? Jesus is telling these guys that you're going to go to places that they're not going to receive you. He told them you're going to go to places that are not receiving you. But God's got a witness now that he went and he shared the message with these people. And he said it'll be more tolerable because they didn't just reject us, they reject the Lord. Now, he's got his witness. They got their witness. Someone came. You know, sometimes people reject you, but then they later on down the road, they turn. You know, how many times did Saul reject the gospel before he received it? He certainly rejected Stephen's preaching, you know, as he stood there. But then that was a seed. So I'm not saying that, like, you know, people reject you. They may turn to the Lord a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. But my point is that sometimes we'll go and people won't receive us. But that's just as important because now they have a witness. Right? All right. So I'm going to wrap this up. This is really kind of just an introduction into next Sunday. I want to talk about how to evangelize, how to really do it. And I want to get into good examples, give us good practical things that we can do to help us grow in sharing our faith with people. Okay. How to reach out to people. But I just want to encourage us all, that, you know, we're all called to reach people for the Lord. I'm going to give you a scripture. I've taught on this before in here. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, until the building up of the body in Christ, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? To the very fullness of Christ, till we all attain. Now, what is that? You got the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers that God says in his word that we would have until we're all just like Jesus, which since we're not there yet, I know we still got all those ministries, just saying. One of those ministries is the evangelist. What's the purpose of these offices given here? It's to equip the saints for the work of service, right? So the reason that we have the office of evangelist is to equip the church to evangelize. I mean, that's what it says. They've been given to equip the saints for the work of service. He's given evangelists, not these offices, they're there to equip the body. We're all called to hear God's voice, the prophet. We're all called to be sent out, the apostle. We're all called to some degree. We may be sent out in different spheres. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to learn how to care about the people around us and to shepherd people. We're all called to teach. That's why he's given these offices to equip the saints so they can do the work. Plain as day, right there, right? So God's called us to reach the lost, and so here's what we're going to do. Now, this is my first even, I don't think I've mentioned evangelism yet since I've been here. And I don't know many churches that take a Sunday morning to preach on these. I've never heard a Sunday morning message on stuff like this. I've done all the training I've ever done on this. It's always been in little night meetings or special meetings that are separate for Sunday morning. So as far as I know, I'm sure someone has, but this is the first time I've ever been, you know, done it and or seen it done. And I know it's uncomfortable sometimes because, to be honest with you, if you're like me, you don't want to go. But I'm just telling you, God's telling us to go. He wants us to go. And so here's what we're going to do as a church, and I hope you guys will join us. There's no pressure. You follow the Holy Spirit. But we want to reach this neighborhood behind us. We want to reach out and begin to let our presence be known. I'll tell you what I did the other day. Monday, I got here early for our normal Monday prayer and leadership meeting. I started having the Lord tell me to go. I got time. Go do some evangelism. I'm just being honest. Okay, so I get up. I walk out. I just start walking around. And I start walking through the neighborhood. And I see somebody in this house. So I decide to walk up to them. There's this lady outside with her kid. And as I walk out, somebody else walks out the door onto the front porch. And I get out there and I just introduce myself, start talking to them. And it was such a powerful time. I was willing to break the ice to go talk to these people, and I met Jimmy. Jimmy lives in the house down here. And I was able, in this conversation, we started talking about God. And I ended up getting a prophetic word for Jimmy. I shared it with him, and it impacted him. And he was like, man, I got to come. He told me, he's like, man, I got to come down there and talk to you. You know, so he expressed his interest in coming here. We'll see what happens. But the point is that I end up ministering to these guys. And they were very receptive. I mean, they were very receptive. And I came away high as a kite because God just did some awesome stuff. I think it did as much for me as it did for them. And you know why? Because if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over till you cannot contain it all. That's not just money. When we give of our time, when we go out and give the word, I have always, when I went out to minister the word to people, come away fuller, richer, filled up more so than I was before I went. I always feel like crap when I go, and I always come back high as a kite every time. It's just the way it is. I don't want to go. All the demons of hell are coming. Don't go, don't go. But I went out, and Jimmy got reached and touched, and it was awesome. This Saturday, we're going to go out. We're going to meet at the church at 11 to pray. And then we're going to go out in the neighborhood and just go out. We're going to break up into twos and threes. And we're going to just go out and just talk to people. Hey, we go to this church down here. And then we're going to do some stuff. Now, here's what I want to do. If you're interested in a little quick 15, 20 minute how we do this training, I'm going to show up early. I'm going to show up at 10:30. Anybody wants a little quick training, come at 10:30. Come right at 10:30. We'll do a little quick training. Then we're going to pray at 11, and then we're going to go out at 12, and we're going to try to reach the thing. I'm going to do more training Sunday because we want to continue to do this. We want to reach this neighborhood. We want to have, we want to do like a block party type thing in maybe next month. We want to start to get to know people, let them get to know us. We want to have camps this summer potentially for the kids in the neighborhood. We're working towards that. And we just want to make our presence known and get out there and preach the gospel. Talk to people. All right, so here's what we're going to pray, and we're done. I just want to ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to press beyond our flesh, to be willing to go up to people and break the ice and talk to them about Him when He nudges us. When He nudges us. You might be at the grocery store. If He nudges you, listen to Him. All right? Holy Spirit, We know you're ascending, God. We know you want to reach people. Lord, I just ask that right now, that there would be hearts, Lord, that would rise up and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. God, give us a heart that would say, here I am. Send me. That we would reach people for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Send us. Lord, I just pray for grace upon us to step into those moments, those divine encounters that you have for us, whether at the grocery store or school or walking on the beach, wherever it may be, Lord, that you would give us the grace to step out and to see you touch people's lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.